You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I want to talk to you tonight about a perspective. Sometimes we have a different perspective about challenges and battles and so on and so forth. And our perspective, our attitude going in, of course, into a situation is going to determine how we come out of that situation. So it's important that we have the right perspective and the right attitude. You know, the way we look at things, the way we, the standard we use. I taught not too long ago about having a filter that we filter. We should filter everything through, you know. You hear all kinds of words. Some words you shouldn't act on, shouldn't repeat. Not everything's for public consumption, you know. But if you filter everything through the word, then it'll eliminate a lot of things that get in your spirit and get in your head and get in your thinking and get in your, mess up your dreams, mess up your faith, and filter it. Just filter it through the word. Amen? Amen. I often hear, in fact, I heard this the other day. Somebody said, man, things are going so good. He said, I'm just looking around for the devil. I know something bad's going to happen. You know, because it just can't be going that good without something bad happening sometime, somewhere. It's got to. Or we go into a situation or a crisis, a challenge, a battle, or whatever the case may be, and we kind of have this attitude, man, I just got through this other thing, and now this happened. Or I just, you know, I just got over that, and now I got to deal with this. You know, seem like I'm just going from one battle to the next. I seem like I'm just going from one crisis to the next. Well, you know, there's two ways of looking at that. Actually, from a biblical standpoint, I would say we're going from one victory to another victory. You're stopping short here when you're saying I'm just going one battle to the next, or one crisis to the next, or one tragedy to the next, or one, you know, one challenge or one test to the next. We're stopping short. If you'll go back and look at those challenges and those tests and those battles, when you pray and you believe God, you got the victory. Amen. So what we got here is another chance, another opportunity, hallelujah, to have another victory. Oh, man, here we go again. You know, I mean, but perspective is everything. Our attitude is everything. I think about Hallelujah Night. What a challenge Hallelujah Night is. I can't even tell you Hallelujah Night. What a challenge it is every year. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of work putting up stuff and getting everything together, all the candy, all the sacks. I mean, it's just endless, the things that go on. Amen. And then the cleanup, you know, and all that. It's a lot of work. Goodness gracious. Just tired of doing all this work. And I get tired too. Everybody gets tired. You get tired when you work. That just happens when you work. You get tired. But you know, you go to sleep, you get up, and you get over it. But what you look at is the victory of it. Yes. You look at the outcome. Food bank, a lot of work. That's a lot of work in food bank. A lot of preparation, getting things together, talking to people, praying with people, getting food together, sacking it up, and putting it out there. Having church week by week. Did you know it takes work to do that? You know, I've said often, in the last few weeks, I read it. I thought it was so good. The difference between the have and the have-nots are those that do and do not. Because really, a victory comes from doing something. I find favor comes from acting on the word. Favor doesn't just fall on people for no reason at all. Favor follows those that pursue God, follows those that are actively serving Him, that are doing things. And if you'll work and you'll do things for God, favor will just follow. It'll just come. God gives seed to sowers. He didn't give seeds, though, don't sow. You know, sometimes we say, well, man, I wish I had a bunch of seed. But if you're not in the business of sowing and helping people, what would you do with it? And why would God give it to you? But if you're in the business of helping and blessing and sowing, then God's looking for a sower to give seed to. He gives seed to sowers, and He gives to givers. He doesn't say, I'll give you something, go give. He says, you give, and I'll give you. See, it's the other way around. So battles, yeah, battles happen, but battles precede victories. Tests precede testimonies. Absolutely. Amen? And that should be the way we're looking at our struggles or battles, this idea of continually fighting. Well, you know, I think as long as we're here, we're always going to be fighting in some sense, some form, some fashion. There's going to be reprieves and times that you get a rest, as it were. But as long as we're here in life, there's always challenges. There's always, whether it's family challenges, health challenges, financial challenges, spiritual challenges, church challenges. There's always going to be that. Always. But what that means is, if we believe God and stand on the Word, there's always victories. There's always testimonies. Hallelujah. There's always miracles. I mean, when it gets bad and things look terrible, is two ways you can say, man, this is terrible, or you can say, hey, things are looking right for a miracle. Man, when this is all over, God's going to get so much glory because there's no way I'm getting out of this without a miracle. Amen. Amen? And I'm going to trust God and believe God and get me one. Hallelujah. And have a testimony when it's all said and done. So, you know, victories, everybody wants victories. But victories come from battles. They come from battles. And that's something we always need to keep in mind. And, of course, you know, hard work is what prevails. And staying with the stuff, being diligent, being consistent, and not giving up. It pays to serve God when you don't feel like it, when you're not up, you know, when you're tired. Keep going through the motions, doing what God's saying to do, because you know victory is coming. Hallelujah. Testimony's coming. It's well worth all the effort, all the seemingly pain the struggle we went through to get that victory. To see that person get saved, to see that person turn their life around, that person get healed, or whatever the case may be. There is a goal. We got a goal in mind. We are running with a purpose. We have a prize at the end of this road. We're looking for something. Yeah, anybody remember school? Is that too far back for most of y'all? I know. And yeah, Dale, I wasn't talking about you. I was looking at Mo when I said that. But
I remember.
Oh, yeah, okay. But in school, you know, you seem like you're just always having tests. Actually, that's what you do in school. You take a lot of tests.
Yes.
And that test was to see what you knew. Isn't that right? So before you get out of school, you have to pass these tests. So you can think, man, I'm just going from one test to another. But actually, you're going from passing one test to passing another test.
Yeah.
And so when you graduate from one grade, what that means is he's had a lot of tests. No, it means he's passed a lot of tests. That's why you're going to the next level. And sometimes new levels, new devils. But that's okay. God was there back there yesterday. He'll be there today, and he's going to be there tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if we killed a lion yesterday, we can kill a bear tomorrow. And if we killed a lion and a bear, we can kill Goliath next week.
Amen.
You know, let the devil throw his best shot. That's what we're in here for, is to win battles. Praise God. That's just what we do, is we fight and we win. And our attitude is we're going from victory to victory. We're going from passing tests to passing another test. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not here we go again. It's glory to God, another opportunity. Amen? And of course, that, you know, as long as we're here on this earth, that's going to be the case. There's going to be a rest we're going to enter in when we get to heaven. But down here, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life. And, you know, has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hallelujah. And we're here to fight, and we're here to win. Praise God. So from a biblical perspective as Christians, this life is like Canaan land, not like heaven. I know we like to have a little heaven on earth, and we get these little bits and pieces and, you know, just a little bit of aroma, but this is not heaven. Are you with me? Heaven's coming. So what is this? We have the victory, we overcome. We win. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. What is this if it's not heaven? Well, it's like Canaan land. That's what it's like. The children of Israel were promised all the land of Canaan, but they had to fight to get it city by city by city. And they couldn't just rest and sit down when they got one city. They had to go fight and get the next city. Then they had to fight and get the next city. And you know, if you read Joshua and you get to the end of the Joshua, they had just taken city after city after city after city, and they still had some cities left to take that they didn't take. It's interesting, the 18th chapter of Joshua, he tells them, he says, how long will you wait? How long will you neglect to take your possession? See, they're probably thinking, man, I'm just another battle. No, another victory. You step out there and God will show up. You make one step, he'll make two. It is amazing what the Lord will do. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed out breaking bread. Y'all remember that song? You may be down today. Y'all remember that song? Anybody remember that song? But help is on its way. Dark clouds may dim your sky, but he'll answer you by and by. You make one step, he'll make two. It is amazing what the Lord will do. You know, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. Anybody remember that song?
No.
Okay, you just heard it. Next time I sing it, you'll remember it. See? Don't give up. Don't quit. Amen?
Amen.
Stay in there. Make a testimony out of your test. Make a message out of your mess. Get a victory out of your battle. Hallelujah. You say, well, man, my life's a mess. Well, why don't you get saved, get right with God, get in faith, pray, whatever you got to do, and let's make a message out of your mess. Amen. That's what God does anyway. He makes messages out of messes, and He makes testimonies out of tests. Hallelujah. And praise God, we get victory in battle. Heaven is our final victory. For every trial, there's a triumph waiting for us to achieve. In every case. And for every test, there's a testimony around the corner. And for every affliction, there is a deliverance prepared for us. You may say, woe is me. Why is everybody always picking on me? And to pick up that Charlie Brown syndrome and start singing that song, you know, nobody knows the trouble I see. But you need to think about this. The Bible tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous. He didn't say there'd never be afflictions. He didn't say we'd never have challenges. He said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. Right. Woo! That's Psalm 34:19. You're writing notes. And 2 Corinthians 2:14, I quote it often, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always. 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 Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. All. So whatever you're facing and whatever you're going through, you're going through. Hallelujah. You're coming out the other side. In fact, you're just going from one victory to the next. Going from one testimony to the next. That's what Revelation 12:11 tells us. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. Wow. Overcome by their testimony. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Every one of us have a testimony, incidentally. You have a testimony, I have a testimony. You know, to being saved or getting delivered or having a prayer answered or getting out of a mess. Or, you know, I was just this week talking to different people about all the little miracles that have happened in our church over the last 30 years. We could write a book on the favor and the blessing, that things, supernatural things that have happened financially, physically, spiritually. The list goes on and on and on. All that we have out here on the grounds and all that God's done and all that we're doing with His power and His might and so on and so forth, and building testimonies and just things that have just fell right in place, you know, because we're fighting, because we're stretching our faith, because we're confessing the Word, because we're stepping out there. God's going, hey, I'm looking for somebody like that. Come on, y'all stand on my Word. I'll show up and show out. Because we didn't just back up and sit down and give up and cry and moan and groan. We started stretching our faith and believing for more and doing new ministries and starting new things. And, you know, and it seemed like whenever we did that, God just showed up. Just showed up. We could never have done that. Never dreamed or imagined we'd do what we're doing right now years ago, or even when we started doing different ministries. But then as we began to step out, God began to show up and He began to help and He began to provide, and we'd get this victory and that victory. And we had challenges along the way. We hit corners and obstacles. You know, we just kept going. We'd pray and just keep going. And man, I mean, just look at us now. Hallelujah. Nothing compared to what's coming. And that's because of God. He causes us to triumph. He delivers us out of our affliction. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Hallelujah. See, the Bible is just filled with examples of God's people winning victory after victory. Filled with it. Just filled with it. Of when you could back up and you could say, well, the Bible's just full of people that have to fight. The Bible's full of people that had tragedy. The Bible's full of people that had crisis and needs. The Bible's full of people that were persecuted. The Bible's just filled with people with just the most terrible things. A man had his hand withered up. There was a blind man who used to beg by the side of the road. There's a woman in Luke 13 that was bent over for 18 years, and a woman with an issue of blood, 12 years. I mean, the Bible's just full of people with all these needs and all these problems and all these afflictions. And man, look in the Old Testament, all the battles where they were outnumbered and just overwhelmed and backed up against the Red Sea. The Bible's just full of all kinds of pain and grief and misery. Well, no, you need to read a little further. The woman with the been over 18 years got healed.
Yes, amen.
The blind man's eyes popped open.
Yes.
Job, there is an end to Job. There is a last chapter that nobody seems to ever read.
Yeah.
It always blows me away. People talk about their, I'm having a Job experience. Oh, praise God, you're going to have twice as much stuff when it's all over.
Yeah.
Read the last chapter. He was doubly blessed, but all we want to talk about is the pain he went through.
Yeah.
Are you out there? Oh, man.
God.
That man with a withered hand, it was stretched out and made whole. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That woman with the issue of blood was made whole. And case after case, they were outnumbered, the children of Israel, and God supernaturally came through. Oh, they went through all kinds of battles. Yes, they did. And there was all kinds of challenges. No question about it. There were financial needs. There were physical needs. There were emotional needs. There were all kinds of needs. But, you know, God came through, and they went from, if we were going to be honest and read the whole story, they went from victory to victory to victory.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Maybe you're in a potential victory situation right now. Maybe you're facing a potential testimony.
Yes, amen.
I say potential because if you'll believe God, it will happen.
Yeah.
If you don't, it won't.
Yeah.
If you give in and quit and you don't fight, well, you won't have that testimony in that test. And you won't have that triumphing. You know that. But you can have it if you'll believe God. The Bible's filled with battles and victories. Hallelujah. Needs and needs being met. The Bible tells us we have an enemy. You know, we know that. But the Bible also tells us that if we'll submit to God and resist the devil, he'll flee from us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that old devil, he's on my case. He's been chasing me all day long. Why don't you put your foot down and run him off? James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Well, I tell you, he's just been on me. He just won't leave me alone. That devil just won't quit. He just keeps coming. It seemed like I get over one thing, and here he comes again. Whoa, 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 whoa. You got over something? You mean you actually got over it? You won? Well, get ready to win again.
Yeah, get your slingshot out.
Yeah, get slingshot out. Start slinging. Exodus 14, found it? Hallelujah. The children of Israel, Exodus 14. Man, I gave you all plenty of time to get to the Scripture, didn't I? Of course, I quoted a lot of Scriptures already. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm not torching y'all. I'm not drinking water up here, but Exodus chapter 14. This is where, of course, they got, you know, they went through the plagues, the 10 plagues. Before they could get loose, you know, from Egypt, from Pharaoh. And God delivered them with a mighty hand. I mean, it's just a mighty hand. And they come out of Egypt, and they come out just laden down with gold and silver and necklaces because God told them to go ask their Egyptian neighbors to borrow gold and silver and don't borrow just a few. And they were so happy to get rid of those Israelites because they've been plagued with all these plagues, you know, these 10 plagues, that they just loaded them up. The Bible says they came out with all kinds of gold and silver. And here they were slaves, and now they're free. Free at last, free at last, free at last. Coming out of Egypt. And they're on their way, a couple of million of them, you know. And they've got cattle, they got all their cattle, they got all their sheep, they got everything. They got it all with them. They got to take it all with them. Plus extra gold and stuff that they had from their neighbors. And what happens? They look behind them, and there's old Pharaoh and his army coming down hard on them. They're backed up against the Red Sea. That's the setting here in Exodus 14. Having been freed, having experienced a tremendous victory, now they're pursued by Pharaoh. They didn't even really have time to celebrate their great victory, and they were attacked again. Man, just one battle after another. Are you out there? In Exodus 14, verse 9, it says, so the Egyptians pursued them and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea of Pi-Hahiroth, whatever that is, before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were excited about the victory they were going to win and how God was going to come through, and they had a party and shouted and just had a good time. Oh, Doesn't say that. When they... So they were very afraid. Wow. Wouldn't you like to have been there when you were being delivered from the Egyptians? Wouldn't you like to have been there when all those plagues came down and you were protected in the land of Goshen, not a hair on your head was hurt? And that last plague, the death of the firstborn, you had blood on the altar, you had blood on, excuse me, on the lintel of your doorpost and on the sides of your doors. You had blood over there. You went in, you ate the lamb, and the death angel came through, and you were completely protected. And then you begin to collect gold and silver and get all your stuff and walk out. You've been slaves all these years, and now you're free. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Wouldn't that have been exciting? Wouldn't that have been supernatural? I mean, God Almighty showed up. God Almighty showed up. Rained down, you know, hail on the Egyptians. Turned the water to blood. Frogs came out of the river. Flies came out. Darkness hit. Bulls came. I mean, supernatural things began to happen. I mean, it was supernatural, and there was no doubt in anyone's mind, whether you were Egyptian or whether you're Israelite, that this was God doing this. And you know more gets set free, and Israel, the Pharaoh comes after you. What should be your thinking? I would think that you'd be going like, that Pharaoh, he's just lost his mind, hadn't he? Does he actually think he's going to get run us down after God has delivered us all these times and those 10 plagues that came down and did all the damage? Does he actually think that that's all he's got to do, just come out here and come against God? Does he not remember those 10 plagues? Does he not remember those great deliverances? Well, it wasn't so bad that Pharaoh didn't remember. The Israelites didn't remember.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And this is very fresh on their brains. This just happened. Sometimes it happens to us. Yeah. I mean, we get through something and seem like we don't just catch our breath, just barely get back on our feet and get knocked down again. We think, oh, man, here we go again. Are you out there? What you have to remind yourself of is that God has never forsaken you. And he never will. Every time you've ever trusted him, he's come through. So if you'll trust him again, he'll come through again. And every battle that comes is just another victory that you're going to win. And another testimony you're going to get to stand up in church and talk about. And the bigger it is, the bigger the battle, the bigger the victory. The bigger the test, the bigger the testimony. Hallelujah. Let's read on. So, when they drew near, or Pharaoh drew near, 10th verse, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt. This is not exactly talking faith. You have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Hello? Excited about being free? I wouldn't think so, no. Excited about all the gold and silver? Excited about not having to make bricks anymore? Hallelujah. No. Excited about having been delivered from all those 10 plagues time and time again? God had come through for them. You know, I really, if you've been saved any length of time at all, and God's never done anything for you, and he's never answered one of your prayers, and he's never showed up in your life, okay, quit church, go back to the world. But I don't think that's the case. If you've been saved today, that's not the case. Why is it we revert so quickly back to doubt and unbelief and look in the natural and give up and want to quit? But it, we do. I mean, we all do it. I'm not, you know, picking on anybody but Mo. But, no, we all do it. I catch myself sometimes. I think, what am I thinking? What in the world am I thinking? I am a Christian. I am a believer. I have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I have been changed. The Spirit of God lives in me. I got the name of Jesus. I got the power of God. I have seen God work time and time again, do things that nobody could ever do. There is nobody can do what God can do. And I've seen it happen, and I've had it happen, and I've experienced it in my life. Now, what am I worried about?
Yeah. Praise God.
Woo!
Praise God. Hallelujah.
What a lesson. I mean, when you think about it, you're looking at this and seeing what they, their reaction, you know. They were telling Moses, you took us out here to die. Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? 12th verse. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt? I told you so. saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Wow, man, that's pretty bad. I don't think they're in faith. Instead of throwing up their hands, you know, and saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, for a victory, they threw their hands up and said, I knew it was too good to be true. We've done the same thing, you know. Ah, you know, I just knew it was too good to be true. It just couldn't be that good. It couldn't be that. No way. No, I knew something like this was going to happen. No. Maybe when I was younger, you know, didn't have much sense. Now I know better. I know better now. No, you're too smart. That's what the problem is. You got too smart. You quit trusting. You quit coming like a child. You quit just leaning on the everlasting arms, you know. Believe in God. What we need to do. Tell you what we need to do. Next verse. What we need to do is what Moses told them. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know what happens? We get rattled in our mind, and then our mouth starts rattling. And then we just start talking up our doubt and unbelief. We start reinforcing it. We start getting all the arguments together, all the logic that we have together, why this cannot happen, this not work, God will not come through, and we're about to go under, we're going to lose everything we got. And it is the worst thing that's ever happened to anybody, and it's happening to me, and I just don't understand why. And here we go. We throw our arms up in despair instead of throw our arms up in faith, trusting God. And we need to stop. You know, there's a song, Christian song, the kids sang out here, Hallelujah Night. Hold up. Wait a minute. Put a little love in it. That's what we need. We need to stop. Hold up. Wait a minute. Put a little love in it. Before we go off and get angry and hot and upset. Well, we need to hold up. Stop. Wait a minute. Put a little faith in it. Before you start getting in faith, you start revving up, you know. It's just like an engine. We're just revving it up. We start out, oh, no. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, I'll tell you. Oh, no. I'm going to lose it. It's like a Kawasaki engine. I mean, we just start revving up that unbelief and just rattling instead of stopping and saying, whoa, 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 wait a minute, wait a minute. God's still on the throne. His word's still true. I'm still a Christian. Wow, you know, I've been through this before. This is not my first rodeo. I think I can ride this horse. We've ridden this horse before. God's come through before. He's going to come through again. I love that. You know, when little kids, they get on a, you ever get them on a swing when they're real little? Adeline always wants to go outside and get in the swing when they come over. Papa, side. You know, that means outside. That means Papa would like to go outside and get on the swing. But with her, it's Papa, side. Papa, side. And she points toward the door, and she's relentless and persistent, and she wears me down. And so I pick her up, and I take her outside, and I put her in the swing, you know, and you swing her. Well, kids, you know, when they do something like that, they'll go, do it again. Do it again. And you're going, after 100 times, okay, I'm done, all right, okay, do it again, do it again. See, they just think that you're just there to do it again. And we are, you know that. Especially when you become a grandparent. That's what you're there for, is to do it one more time. Yeah. Over and over and over and over. But see, this is the way we ought to be with God. When a tragedy happens, a crisis happens, a need happens, a battle comes, we ought to say, look up to heaven and say, do it again, Daddy. Do it again. And He will. He'll do it again. He'll come through just like He always has. And if you're persistent enough, you can wear Him down. No, stay with me. You don't have to wear Him down. He wants to do it. Although Jesus used a parable of an unjust judge that the woman kept coming, and He says, not because He was just, not because He cared about the woman, but He knew that she would not give up or be quiet or shut up or, you know, He said, I'm just going to do this so she doesn't wear me out. And He said, shall not God avenge His just saints that cry out to Him day and night? Now, He wasn't saying God's unjust. He said an unjust judge would do it. How much more God when we cry out to Him day and night? So, that should be our attitude, amen. But we're going to have to get still. Hey, turn down all the voices. All those thoughts running through your head. All those pictures of going under and losing everything. You know, stop all that. Stop. Stand still. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that reminds me of Psalms 46. Turn there. Man, that's a good one. You know, I don't know if you're going through anything. I'm not going through anything. We just went through one. We just went through Hallelujah Night and made it. We survived another one. So I'm excited. Hallelujah. Praise God. A little tired. I'll have to say that. I'm a little tired. Well, I'm actually real tired, but that's okay. I'm just still love God and excited to be here. Wouldn't be anywhere else. Couldn't wait to get to church tonight. Figured if I had to sit down, I'd just sit down and preach it, but I'm going to preach. Hallelujah. That's what I do. And I want to encourage you. You know, I want to give you some hope and help. That's what we're about, helping people. Amen. That's what the church is about. This is a refuge. This is a safe haven. This is somewhere where you can get help. Hallelujah. You can get hope. You ought to want to love to come here, even when you're tired, just to get, if I could just get to church and sit down and worship God and get under the presence of God and that anointing comes in and the Word comes forth and, man, I know everything's going to be all right. Amen. That's what church is about. See, it should be that. It's not a place to get beat up. And shouldn't be a boring place. I know there's some services more exciting than others, but I'll tell you, the presence of God is here. You count. You're somebody. God loves you. He cares about you. You got a bright future. Things are looking up. Hallelujah. A whole lot better than what the news people are telling you.
Amen.
Notice what it says in Psalms 46, verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Wow. Be still and know that I am God. Well, there's something to being still. Just like Moses was telling him, you know, he said, stand still. Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of God. I think many times we don't see the salvation of God because we're running around like a chicken with his head cut off. You know, in East Texas, I don't know if you ever seen that. I mean, I used to wring those chickens' necks. You know, we'd have to throw them in a pot of hot water and pluck them, you know, and all that. And why am I telling this story? But I've actually seen those. You can pop their neck. You know, you can do it one pop if you're good at it. You know, you. I've seen them hit the ground running, dead. And they'd say, "You run around like a chicken with your neck." You know, broke or your neck cut off or head cut off or something. I've seen them chop the heads off and they run off too, you know. Just keep going, just nerves, you know, keep going. That's kind of what we're doing. We don't have any direction. We don't know what we're doing. We don't have a head on. Hello. We're not thinking. We're not thinking a word, but we're running. Well, quit running. Stop. Pray. Well, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, whoa. You ever seen that? You know, used to, they don't do it so much anymore, I guess, because it's not politically correct. But, you know, somebody would start screaming and hollering, and they'd just slap them. Yeah. What did it catch their attention? You know, they're screaming, pow, you know. And then they usually would say, thank you. Thank you for hitting them. But it just stopped them. It stopped their ranting and their rattling. And sometimes we do that. See, we get all stirred up. We get all hyped up about the situation. Our mind starts going crazy. But see, God can't move in that kind of situation. He moves through us when we're trusting Him. And faith is not something that we have to work up. Faith is a rest. It is a rest. Brother Osteen used to tell the story about using faith in a key to a car as an example. He said, you know, I don't have to work up faith. If I have faith, I have faith. I'm trusting Him. Hallelujah. I'm believing Him. I don't have to go, man, I got faith. Ooh, I got faith. He said it'd be like having a key to your car and walk around your car and say, I got the key. If I put this key in this car, it's going to crank up. Stand up on top of the car. I got the key. If I put this key in this car, it's going to crank up. No, just get in the car, put the key in and crank it. You don't have to work it up. You got the key. Hello. We kind of that way, aren't we? We all frantic about faith, and God saying, no, just be still. Stand still. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of God. And here, of course, Psalm 46:10, He says, be still and know that you got a battle on your hand, that you got an enemy. Well, that's all part of it, yes, but you need to be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Back up the next couple of verses. Look at the verse before, the eighth verse. Come and behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He's made in the earth. He makes wars to cease until the end of the earth. He breaks the bow that's pointed at you and cuts the spear in sunder that someone slung at you and has got you in their sights. Well, He cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Oh, man. Are you getting this? He's a God of war. He's a God of victory. He does not lose. He can stop the insanity. He can stop the chaos. He can stop the battle that you're in. He can stop it. He can stop it. He can make it cease. That's exactly what He did with the Pharaoh and his armies. In fact, Moses put up his hand and that rod over that Red Sea, and it split, and they walked across by dry land. And when the Pharaoh and his armies tried to do it, they were drowned in that same water. And in the 15th chapter of Exodus, it's interesting, you're going to turn back there, they sang a song of victory. They said, I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider is thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song. The Lord has to go. The Lord's won my victory. Miriam began to get her cymbal, or her tambourines. Miriam got her tambourines. She began to dance on the other side of the Red Sea. Moses and the children of Israel began to sing, and they began to dance. And we used to sing that song. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider is thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider is thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord my God, and I will praise Him. My Father is God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Anybody remember that song?
Yeah.
The horse and the rider is thrown into the sea. Hallelujah. But see, they weren't singing that tune when they're on the other side of that sea. They weren't singing that tune when they saw Pharaoh and his armies coming. Moses had to arrest them, as it were. He had to stop them and say, fear not, stand still. You got to get a grip on your lip. In your life, you do. God makes wars to cease. And He stops the insanity, the chaos, the mental pictures and the fear and the horror that goes through your head and mind when things happen. He stops it when you stop and you get still, just like God told Moses, when you stop and you get still and start realizing, hey, I got another victory on the horizon. Things are looking right for a miracle. This is not defeat. This is not the end. Hallelujah. This is not going to ruin my life. This is going to take me to another level. I'm going to win this thing. Praise God. God's going to come through. We're all going to win. I'm going to stand in church and talk about it. Give the devil a black eye. You don't go from battle to battle. Well, in one sense, yes, but let's don't stop there. We go from victory to victory. You don't go from test to test. Well, yeah, we are tested. That's true. But don't stop there. We go from testimony to testimony. We go from triumph to triumph. We are in it to win it. Amen? That's the way you need to look at life. That's the way you look at those rough edges and those hard days and look at those crises and look at those battles. They're opportunities is all they are for us to show the glory of God to the world. That our God is bigger than the crisis. That our God is greater than this challenge. That our God is the true God. Yeah. And He will come through and He will always do what He says. Hallelujah. And we ought to say, thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity to believe you and stand on your word.